You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Welcome to Wednesday Chapel, Asbury. Welcome to Student Chapel this morning. And as we are grateful to hear the stories of a couple of our students, I want to give you a brief trigger warning. There will be brief references to abortion as well as to demonic presence as we hear stories this morning from your peers.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. I hope that the week has gone well for you so far. Today is our last Student Stories Chapel of the semester, which is kind of crazy that the semester has gone this quickly, but I've been so grateful to be in this role, and my job has been so easy because all I get to do is hear stories from students and give them a platform to share. Today is no different. We're going to be hearing from Nathan Gabbard and Grace Goddard, who are two very sweet people on this campus, and we're just so excited that they have said yes and been obedient to the Lord in this. Something I really enjoy about this particular student story is how different these testimonies are. God has very clearly met both of them in very different ways, but it isn't any less important for one to be different than the other. And I think that sometimes we believe that if we've been Christians our whole lives and we haven't had that wow moment with the Lord, that our story is any less significant, but that's just not the case. And so today I was reading, and it reminded me of Philippians, when Paul is talking to the Philippian church and he is reminding them that they are to be of one body and one mind and one soul, and that they are to live lives worthy of Christ. And specifically in chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, and whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you." And I think that student stories is such a beautiful way of putting into practice what the Lord has given us to steward. And my prayer and hope for you today is that you hear these stories and you feel impacted by them. I'm going to pray, and then Nathan's going to come up. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the people that are in this room. Lord Jesus, I praise you that you have brought them here for such a time as this. God, that you have placed everybody in this room intentionally, God. And I pray that as our speakers come up, they would feel your peace that passes all understanding, Lord Jesus, that they would be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, they would make their worries known to you, God, and that you would answer them. And Lord, I just thank you. I praise you. I pray for the rest of this week, and I pray that Thanksgiving would be a good time of rest and just relaxation, God. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you guys are doing well today. My name is Nathan Gabbard. I'm part of the Restore class, RA of Citadel. There you guys are. I'm here today to testify on how Jesus Christ completely changed my life a few years back. Not gonna lie, I'm not really the public speaker kind of guy, rather be in the back, kind of lurking. But here we are. Feel compelled by the love of God. So yeah, guys, with that being said, just gonna jump straight into it. Just gonna give you guys a little backstory. Grew up in a family of four with my brother. My mother would just drag me to church every weekend. She taught us the best she could. My father wasn't always the best spiritual example. There were definitely a lot of fights in the house growing up. There's just a lot of fights that I felt like I had to intervene in at times. I felt a burden and a weight for my mother growing up. So I kind of grew up in fear and anxiety through my teen years. And I was just very aware of problems I probably should have never known about at such a young age. Fast forward to high school. From an outside perspective, one could say I checked off all the boxes. Not trying to come off in like I guess, an arrogant way, but I just kind of believe in saying the things how they are. I was excelling in my studies at the time, working from a young age, had the car that I wanted to drive from like age 13. Had the girl that like looked good on your arm, this and that, you know, just the kind of mind, you guys get the mindset that was kind of like, that I kind of had in those days. Doing well in soccer, looking to play in university, all this stuff, all the superficial stuff that was after. One could say I was popular and like at all the parties, this and that. But on the inside, I felt dead. I felt empty, rotting away, looking for peace, and just looking for it in all the wrong places. And I'm just gonna be completely honest, I look for fulfillment in like getting girls, chasing money, smoking weed, just having a grand old time every weekend. And though these things can temporarily distract you from your problems, they just continue to leave me more and more empty as I was seeking to fill something in my heart with worldly things. So yeah, I mean, as I began to realize that these things were not bringing me the peace and fulfillment that I thought they would bring, I felt like lied to by like just culture, social media, all these like things that they advertise to you all the time. Oh yeah, this is what you want. I just felt like I was living a lie. I just didn't know what the truth was. So I began to search for truth. So, and I also began to ask existential questions. Why do I even draw breath in this moment? Is God truly real? Do I have a purpose? What am I actually doing? What am I really doing here? I just felt like I was wasting my time, which I was. But I just concluded that all I truly wanted was peace and true love. I didn't care who had the truth. I looked into like many different things. I didn't care if it was Allah, Muhammad. I read all kinds of stuff. Got into philosophy. I was just looking for truth. And whatever it was, I was just going to follow it wholeheartedly. Throughout my teenage years, in the midst of all this, I experienced a series of demonic torment. And there's just dark presences that would follow me. I was very aware of them. Dealt with anxiety and depression at the same time. It was just a very dark time. Never really told anyone. I wasn't really the kind of guy to tell people stuff. I just didn't like doing it. But one day, out of great fear from one of those episodes, I told my mother about it. And she told me, son, you just need to call on the name of Jesus. That was kind of the answer I expected from her. I just kind of brushed it off in the moment. But the next time that presence visited me, I can't even make this up, guys. Believe it or not, I would try to say the name of Jesus and it would stop. It was trying to stop my mouth from saying it, believe it or not. But once I resisted it and invoked that name, I realized the spiritual authority it has in the spiritual realm. The presence would leave me. So from then on, I always invoked that name when I felt it come over me. So, this shocked me. I was just left shocked from this experience, but it still wasn't the beginning of my conversion, but more of the beginning of my confusion and curiosity in the faith. Fast forward, somehow find myself at Asbury Christian University of all places. That's a whole nother story, kind of rabbit hole. But nevertheless, I was just studying, playing soccer, this and that. One day during my first few weeks of university, I just reached a really low point. Just no peace, no joy. I was just really empty. As I lay there in my dorm bed, I'm at a Christian university, right? So, as I'm in search for truth, I just ask myself, what if this is real? What if this stuff is? What if it's the truth? And in that moment, as I didn't even fully believe, I just acknowledged it, that thought, and I felt a wave of peace and love that I'd never experienced before. And I just couldn't deny that it was God trying to reach me. And in that moment, it was just all the sins I ever committed just came to my mind, all the times my mother would
preach to me, and I would just ignore it. I just became very well aware of how evil I was. So, guys, I just began to study his word. I sought the Lord with all my heart, pray every day. My prayers weren't even like proper prayers. Like, I would pray, I remember these days, I'd pray like once a day. I made a commitment, and my prayer went like this. It would go like, Lord, I don't know if you're real. I kind of think it's baloney. But if you're real, reveal yourself to me. I want to know something. I know I'm an evil man. Set me free from this stuff. So I began to see answered prayers, and I was just appalled. Like, the Lord continued to reveal himself to me through prayer and his truth in the word. I just felt like he was speaking to me. So I began to grow my relationship with Christ, fall in love with Jesus and his truth. I began to just grow so curious of the Bible and just studied everything in it. Like, I was just one of those guys that was just like I just needed to know everything before I believed. So I would just study all the prophecies, like, is Jesus really the Messiah? Is, you know, what do other religions say, this and that? But as I continued to immerse myself in the things of God, started going to church, my mind and my spirit began to become transformed by his truth, exposed all of the lies I was believing growing up, felt the depths of his mercy and forgiveness, and all the answers I was trying to find through philosophers, doctors, like, the pleasures of this world, all this stuff that, you know, people were telling me, oh, it's a chemical imbalances, oh, eat better, you know, sleep better, this and that. I found it in his truth, and the power of the Holy Spirit set me free. So when I saw all this, in my joy, I completely threw away my old life. It was a pretty radical change for me. I didn't even have anybody, like, to say this stuff to. But I did have a great friend, Brendan, my RA at the time, that really helped me through the transition. I left my old smoking buddies. I broke up with the girl I was with at the time. Nothing really mattered to me in that moment anymore. I was just looking for his purpose for my life, getting to know the Lord. And that just kept me rooted. And I just was completely transformed and healed by the love of God. And one of the scriptures that I hold close to my heart is what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman. He said to her, you drink of this water and you'll thirst again. But if you drink the water that I give, you'll never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not really anyone too special. Like, I know almost for a fact that there's someone up here that's going through the same thing has gone through something similar. And my message to that person would just be what Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew. He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he also said in John, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give to you, not like the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So with that being said, guys, that is my testimony. Appreciate you guys listening. I'm very grateful for this opportunity. Have a lovely day. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name's Grace, and I have one really important shout out before I get started, and that's to the best hall ever, Second Glide. Woo! Yeah, awesome. Thanks, guys. Sorry, I'm short, and this is very tall. So I think a lot of times when we think about what a testimony is, we think about this linear story of who I was before Jesus, when I met Jesus, and who I am now afterwards. And that's an incredible testimony to get to have. But if you've grown up in a Christian home and you don't really remember much of a time before Jesus, it's really easy to feel like you don't have a testimony. And God so graciously reminded me at the last student stories that that's not true. Having a testimony means you can testify to God's faithfulness in your life. And everybody, whether or not a believer, has a testimony. And I was like, thank you, Lord, for graciously reminding me of that. I wish somebody would share a story like that in chapel. That would be great. And he was like, you know, that would be great. So here I am today. So as you can guess, I grew up in a Christian household, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a second. But the first thing I want to talk about is this concept of having a bank of testimonies. I heard about it in a message about a year ago, and it's really impacted me. And the idea is that we all have people around us that we know well and whose stories we should know well of God's faithfulness in their life specifically. And a part of my bank of testimonies, before I ever share anything about myself, it's just some areas that God has been really supernaturally faithful to our family, things that only God could do in our family. And many of you probably know my younger sister, Faith. When she was first born, she didn't breathe the first 20 minutes of her life. The fact that she's still alive and she is who she is today is an absolute miracle. And that's something I look to for God's faithfulness, to remember his faithfulness in my life. A couple weeks into my freshman year of college, my whole family got COVID, and my dad wound up in the ICU on an intubator. After 4 days, things weren't looking any different for him. And on that fourth day, my mom and I kind of separately felt a call just to worship the Lord. And the next morning, my mom got a phone call that everything they wanted to see progress happened overnight, and my dad was going to make it, and my dad is healthy and alive today. For separate reasons, each set of my grandparents were told to abort my parents, and I'm not trying to make a political statement by this, but I'm just trying to say the fact that my parents are alive, the fact that my whole family has life, is God's complete faithfulness, and I know that God has a plan and purpose. Those things aren't just random. So I tell you this, and just hang on to that for a second. But so I grew up in a Christian household, and when I say I grew up in a Christian household, I mean my parents really knew what it looked like to disciple in the home. From a young age, I knew what it looked like to follow Jesus. And when I was five, we were in the car, and I was listening to Caleb, and they did the whole gospel call spiel, and I realized I love Jesus. Nobody's ever told me about this accepting him into your heart thing. And I prayed the prayer and then told my parents afterwards and told them I wanted to get baptized. And they said, that's great. Let's wait a little while. You're five. Let's make sure you know what you're talking about. And a couple weeks later, apparently, I don't remember this, but my mom likes to tell the story, that I told them, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I need to be baptized, and you're not letting me be baptized, so we're all being disobedient, and I need to get baptized right now. So I got baptized on August 23rd, 2008, and I've been following Jesus ever since then. It hasn't been a fully linear story. There have obviously been parts of it that I wish weren't a part of my testimony, but overall, my heart has always been for the Lord. I've always loved the Lord, and I've always wanted to serve him. And I could stand up here all day and tell you about everything in my life, but there is no time for that. So I'm going to pick up, like, shortly after the outpouring to now today. And when the outpouring happened in 2023, okay, good. I was just wrestling with some questions that had me kind of wondering, like, is God as good as he says he is? And he met me in a really impactful and radical way that I can never question again whether or not God was good. And I never will question that again. And that really set a tone that I needed for the next year and a half of life. On paper, the next year and a half of my life probably doesn't seem that awful to anybody, but to me, it was like thing after thing after thing that just completely stunk, and it was a really challenging year and a half for me. And all of these things kind of came to a head last spring semester, like right after spring break. And it was just this point of just feeling like really hopeless, really down, and kind of purposeless, honestly, with everything that was going on in life. And I had this moment where I was just sitting and lamenting with the Lord and with my roommate, Lillian. And God just reminded me of this bank of testimonies I shared with you at the beginning. And I got to thinking, I was like, God has been faithful in far worse circumstances and in far worse situations. I know I can trust him now. And out of that kind of birthed this phrase that I kind of clung to for the next several months of my life, which was, God, you have been nothing but faithful, therefore you will find me nothing but faithful. And it was walking through this season just in faithful obedience to the Lord in the middle of things that I really didn't want to be going on. I wish he would change, that he wasn't changing. And through that, he really led me to Psalm 23 to just find peace and rest in the Good Shepherd. And just kind of reciting that and reading that, I learned to memorize that. I'm a big extrovert, if you know me. I love to be around people. I'm not a big fan of my room, but I spent more time in my room that semester just sitting and resting in Psalm 23, sitting and resting with the Father. And I thought, from all my Christian upbringing, God's going to get me through this. My expectation was that Jesus would get me through the experience I was going through. And what I can look back on now and see is that God had much bigger plans in store, and he was actually inviting me on a journey that would change my life forever. And I'm really grateful for that. And I think when we read in James about how he says, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of various kinds in this world, for they produce steadfastness, they produce perseverance. I think he was totally onto something. Going through a really tough time and leaning into the Lord completely and fully through it. I not only got through it, but I learned so many new things about Jesus, and I learned so many new things about the relationship that he wants to have with us. And honestly, my entire worldview and life form just switched over. Learning that, like, we know that God is our one hope. We know Jesus is our one hope. Like, being in a position where all of a sudden you're like, Jesus, I know what it means that you are my one hope. Not a conversation, not a statement, not a friendship, not a situation can ever take that away or change that for me. You are the one thing that is constant and consistent, and I can lean into that and rely on that every day of my life. That changes your life when you know that and you realize that. And for me, that was exactly where Jesus met me. That was exactly how he met me. And a couple weeks ago, life has been kind of like, I don't want to say boring, but nothing crazy is happening in my life right now. It's just pretty stagnant. And I was just sitting in quiet time, and I was just like genuinely really excited to just be sitting in the presence of God. And I just remember being like, Jesus, I don't know how we got here. I don't know what has led to this joy and excitement just to be with you, but I love every second of it. And he graciously just kind of reminded me back to each moment of the previous semester. And he was like, Grace, if we hadn't gone through this the way that we did, we wouldn't be where we are today. And I just got to sit and think about it, and I was like, Lord, I would choose all of those moments over again to have what I have with you now. And that's a powerful thing. That's a really powerful thing, to be so thankful for the things that we go to because of where it leads us in a place with Jesus. And my hope and my encouragement for all of you who are here today is that if you're going through something that is challenging, that is difficult, that you don't really know how you're going to make it through, or maybe you just feel really anxious, is that lean into the suck. Like, I know that sounds weird, but lean into the suck. And like, take this story as a part of your bank of testimonies. Like, that if God could do something for me and he could change my world perspective and he could change my relationship with him through a difficult situation, like, he will do the same for you. He will be faithful to do the same for you. And I want to finish today by reading through Psalm 23 together. And I'd actually like to read it as a prayer, which sounds interesting. You guys can go ahead and stand, because we're about to do worship anyway. If you know Psalm 23, great. If you don't, you're welcome to look it up. But yeah, I'll just kind of take a posture of like prayerful worship now. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, guys.